Welcome to Plaid for Women Radio. This is a show focused on the business of life, communication, behavior, relationships, time management, and more. We're not here to solve the problems of the world. We're here to help you solve the problems in your world. So tune in and discover how you can reach your goals, gain influence, and be heard. Now, here's your host, Sarah Zink.
I'd like to welcome you to today's show. It's Monday, August the 22nd, and in Texas, it's the first day back to school. And so I cannot think of a day that would be more appropriate to welcome back to the show my guest, Steph Mahler with the Mahler Institute. And we're going to continue our discussion about your kid in college. What happens next? How do you prepare your child? Is college right for your child? I'm clearly not the expert on this, but I'm delighted to have people like Steph available and willing to come on the show. Steph is a certified education planner, and she's the founder and CEO of the Mahler Institute, and they are an educational consulting firm. And she and I have met on several occasions, and I'm absolutely captivated with the work that she does and impressed with her personally and professionally. And so could not be more delighted that she agreed to come back to the show to have this series with us. And so today we're going to be talking about what's the parent's role in helping a child prepare for and transition to college, as well as when do you begin this process. So if you would join me as we welcome back to the show Steph Mahler. Steph, thank you so much for being on the show again today.
Thank you, and happy back to school day to Texas. I just dropped my little guy off, and you can see the excitement in the air and the little bit of nerves, and for parents of college bound students, a little bit of anxiety. But it's a nice day out, and I think it's going to be a great year for everyone.
You know, it's been a weekend full of watching parents' bittersweet posts about dropping their kids off at college and the letting go, and how the kids going off to college are reminiscent of the kid going to kindergarten. So certainly all mine are grown and gone, but I could feel the, as you say, I could feel the mood, the excitement, the of course, the little bit of sadness on the parents' part. But I would like, before we get started, to take a moment and have folks understand you a little bit better. I did a brief introduction, but if you would you go into a little more depth and help them understand who you are and how you got where you are today?
Sure. Well, you know, as you said, I'm an educational consultant, and really what I do is I work with students and families starting eighth grade to help their students really develop and execute a successful college admission strategy. And that is everything from what are the right schools for your student, as well as what is the right strategy to help that student gain as many admissions offers of letter as possible, and then, of course, scholarships, so on and so forth. And I really just started because I worked in Ivy League admissions well over 20 years ago, and it always stunned me that there were so many great applicants, you know, valedictorians, perfect GPAs and great test scores who wouldn't get accepted to their top choice schools. And then there were some other students who, you know, were good students but didn't have those great credentials, and they were getting the spots. So I was trying to look for patterns of what really distinguished the student who got accepted from the student who did. And I started to find some patterns in how they represented themselves within the college application process. And so from there, I developed a strategy. Personally used it on myself to get to graduate school. I ended up at Harvard for my business degree. And then post-business school, I have successfully used that same strategy with a number of students across the country.
Well, and that was certainly one of the things that was most impressive to me, was being able to hear the story about how you did see the patterns and you converted it to something helpful and useful, a process, and you also have a system that we'll talk about towards the end of the show. But I think the most important thing that we talk about as we start this discussion is, you know, pre-show, you and I were talking about the different roles of the folks in the community, you know, the police officer, the teacher, the parent, the if someone's faith-based, certainly, you know, the rabbi, the preacher or priest or whatever. But what in this context of helping a kid prepare for college, what would you say were some of the things that would be the parent's role? And while you're having going through that, would you talk about how early is too early? Because I think I certainly grew up where you didn't even think about college until you were a junior or senior in high school. But that's not really the case anymore, is it?
Yeah, no. Well, I think it really gets back to starting as early as possible and creating a lifelong learner. So even as early as toddlerhood, that's when kids are developing curiosities and intrigue. And I know as a busy parent, it can sometimes be annoying to answer 101 why questions. Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why this? Why that? You know, why is my snot green? It can be frustrating when we're running around trying to get dinner together in the trash taken out and, you know, clean up the pet who just made a mess on the rug. But that's the time when these early curiosities start. So I would encourage parents to take a step back and really encourage that. As your student gets a little bit older into grade school, that's where they develop the relationship with school. So does your kid like going to school? Do they feel valued there? And I will tell you that this is particularly important for parents of young boys. You know, boys in kindergarten, first grade, second grade tend to have a harder time sitting still, tend to need to move around a lot more. And that is a critical place because that's when they can either be celebrated and encouraged and nurtured, or they can be relegated to sitting in the corner so as not to disrupt the rest of the classroom. And this is something that I've dealt with personally in my own life with my own son. So this is a time when I think parents need to pay really, really close attention to their school environment, to the teacher's role. And if you're not in a school that, first of all, understands how to teach your child and how to celebrate and encourage your child, change it.
You know, one of the things I think that we see a lot in public school system, of course, is, you know, no fault. I honestly do not fault the teachers. I think they're doing the very best that they can. But a parent, as you say, you know, has to help the child begin to understand that school is their career at that point. That's their job. That's what they do every day. And I think you do develop the just not even the curiosity stuff, but also the attitude towards what I'm going to do for a living, what I'm going to spend my life doing, and that it should be something that's fun and enjoyable, even though that there are some downsides where that you have to do tasks you don't like. So I love that you know, we don't want to relegate kids to the corner. Now, that's grade school. I'm guessing you're really talking about, you know, developing that initial attitude in grade school. What do you see the parents' role in the child's education in middle and high school?
Right. And so this is really where I step in is, as I said, eighth grade. And the reason that I step in at eighth grade is because colleges start caring about what you're doing with your first high school class, which in many schools actually starts in eighth grade, and with the activities you start the summer before ninth grade. So that's where I get involved with my students because that's kind of what colleges are really looking for. At that stage of the game, you know, freshman year is all about laying the right foundation, right? Do you have strong study skill habits? Are you reading? I mean, I always say, show me a kid who knows how to read and enjoys reading, and I will show you really, really high standardized test scores. And that's just something our kids don't do much anymore. So as a parent of, say, a freshman or a sophomore, this is where you are there to certainly provide support and guidance, make sure that you are staying on top of any challenges your student is having. If they're struggling in math, get it fixed now before they get to the more complicated stuff. Introduce them to new extracurricular activities. If you have somebody who's shy, maybe put them in theater to get some exposure and confidence and public speaking skills. Try to, you know, walk around and see all the different careers are out there. So bring over your friends and colleagues and have them talk to your kids about different career paths and what's possible. So at that stage of the game, it's really just about, you know, exposure and getting the right foundational skills and interests going. As we get
because
into...
Really,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say what we're really trying to do, and what I hear you saying as a parent is, you know, grade school, middle school, going back and repeating what you said, developing that love for learning, the curiosity, the open-mindedness, the ability to see perhaps the path that education, when you say to introduce them to, you know, your friends who have different careers, help them to see how that education plays into what they're going to do when they grow up.
Yep. Yeah, and as you get into, you know, the parents of my seniors now, who are equally, you know, equal parts excited and stressed as their students are going through the college application process, you know, this is a really critical time. It is a stressful time for families, and I see my role as one of as much as alleviating stress on the family as it is providing guidance and support through this process. You know, you have to remember that for many students, this college decision is the first adult decision they're going to make. So there are a lot of emotions, both for the student as well as for the parent. You know, you talked about letting your kid go away to kindergarten. Well, college is a whole other kind of kindergarten where it could be thousands of miles away from home and drinking and drugs and everything else wrapped into it. So a lot of big stressors. So I see the parent as being a really, really critical part of the student's college admissions team, and other members of that team certainly would be the school's guidance counselor, maybe some teachers or a mentor, or maybe somebody like me, an independent counselor. And so parents should definitely be upfront with their students about any resource constraints, financial constraints, certainly goals for what they want that education to look like, particularly if the parent is paying. If the parent has the time and the resource to help the student, go ahead and visit different schools, go to a football game, you know, get an idea of what the right educational environment is. That is a really great role for a parent. What parents should not do, parents should not take over the process. And I think we see this, you know, in the age of the helicopter parent, where it's the parent who wants to do the application and take over the process. You know, think of this as training ground for your high school senior to become an adult. And, you know, so parents should not create the college list without input from the student, because if it's a bunch of colleges a student and one go to, they're not going to do the work. And I'll tell you, an essay written by a 45-year-old man sounds very, very different than an essay written by a 17-year-old kid, and colleges know the difference.
Oh, and I'm sure they've seen it all, for sure. Those are some excellent pieces of advice for folks who might be having a senior this year. But let's go back, if you would, and let's talk about the different grades, like each year specifically. So for the folks who are listening, let's assume someone is sending off a child to be a freshman or a sophomore this year. What would you say about the freshman and sophomore and the parents of those kids? What would they be doing this year to help their child prep for college?
Yeah, so I think, so if you think about the four different years, you know, the freshman year is really the year of laying the foundation work, like I said earlier, right? Making sure that as you're selecting classes for freshman year, you're not just looking at the year ahead, but the 4 years ahead. You want to plot out the entire high school curriculum. Obviously, it can change, but decisions that are made in freshman year can impact what's available to a student in senior year. So if you want, if you have a student who may be targeting the more highly selective schools, they're going to be looking for the most rigorous classes like APs, IBs. And for most schools, it's hard to get into those challenging advanced level classes without taking the required prerequisites. So taking a look at a long-term view. Again, freshman year is really about exploring different interests. So again, foundational year. Sophomore year is where we start to refine that. So really starting to get a better idea of what are the academic interests of this student and how can we explore those more fully, both within the school as well as perhaps outside the school, maybe with additional courses in the summer, that type of thing. It's also the time where we start to narrow in the extracurricular activities and interests. So we had talked last time, I think 2 weeks ago, about, you know, colleges are no longer looking for the well-rounded student. They're looking for the well-rounded class. And that is generally made up of students who are fairly lopsided. So instead of, you know, ticking the box on, I need a sport, I need a community service, I need this, I need that, start really helping your student identify what are the two or three areas of interest that they have. And again, let's look for new and interesting ways to explore that. So if the freshman year is the foundational year, the sophomore year is sort of the refining year. Once we get to junior year, I would say this is the strategy year, the branding year. So this is where I'm now working with my juniors to help them develop what does their college application strategy look like? What are the 3 to 5 things they want colleges to know about them? So this is the year where a lot of students are going to be taking on leadership activities and looking for those opportunities or creating them if they don't exist. This is also going to be the year that is the most academically challenging because students are likely going to be doing their standardized testing this year, both for the PSATs as well as potentially the SATs. They'll probably be taking some of those advanced placement or IB exams. Junior year is also the last full academic year that colleges will see. So junior year is the big push year.
Well, and one of the things that I like that you talked about is the strategy. And one thing I think I certainly didn't think about, and I remember having to be very, I'm not going to say strategic. I'll say strategic versus conniving and manipulative. I had to be very strategic in my high school year because I had to get recommendations from teachers. And so you had made a comment probably in an email exchange, and I'd like for you to talk about that because this is the moment, this is the time when the parents and the students need to be thinking about who's going to write my recommendation letters.
Yes. So if you think about these poor senior teachers this year have come to school today and they're about to get barraged with requests for letters of recommendations, probably from students who they've sort of long forgot. So I'll tell you very frankly what I'm doing with my juniors right now. I am meeting with every one of my junior clients, and we are developing a recommendation strategy for the year. Now, as you think about recommendations for schools, most schools will take or will require 2 academic recommendations. So thinking, you know, math, English, social studies, not band or PE unless, you know, you're going into a fine arts type of a thing. And generally, we recommend that students look for recommenders from junior year. Senior year recommenders, generally speaking, will not know the student well enough by the time they need to write those recommendations. And if a student can't get a recommendation from a teacher from freshman or later than freshman or sophomore year, it kind of indicates that that's when the student kind of peaked and is now on a downhill. So junior year really is the year to look for recommendations. So what I have my students doing right now, first day of school, is they are going into every single class, going in to make a great first impression, and with an idea of who are the teachers I am going to ask for recommendations at the end of this year. And what do I want those teachers to say about me when I ask them at the end of my junior year? And that then will help them devise what they're going to do in those classes, how they're going to work, and what types of things they are going to talk to their teachers about that may hopefully make their way into those very important recommendations.
And, you know, one of the things that certainly you and I talk about on many occasions is critical thinking, and this is a little outside the box, but bear with me. The ability to teach these young people to strategize at this age and looking forward is a beginning piece, I think, of this critical thinking, because when they have a job and they're going to want a promotion or they're going to want to be assigned to that important project or they're going to want to learn a skill or fill in the blank, they are able to remember this moment in time where you taught them, hey, if you want this in a year, you need to start working on that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about what is the goal. And I think that, you know, this idea of strategy, or in business terms we call it, you know, what is your elevator pitch? You know, I think once you explain it to students, it's not such a far-off concept. You know, our kids, especially young ladies, are taking, you know, 500-600 Instagram photos a day and are photoshopping and this and that. So they're very clear about the picture they are presenting. This is really no different. It's what is the picture the authentic picture. I certainly don't want to suggest that anybody should try to, you know, fit themselves into some box that they think exists. There is no box that exists. It's really, what is it that makes you you, and what gets you going, and what makes you special, and what are the changes that you want to make and the impact you want to have. But to be able to think about how to say that succinctly and how to demonstrate that through your high school career, both academically and extracurricularly.
You know, in the time that we have left, I know that there are probably parents out there and perhaps aunts, uncles, you know, folks who care about the young people in their life, and they're going, holy crap, I have a senior and we've not done any of this. So I know that, all is not lost. What would you tell someone who has a senior or a senior who might be listening? What would they do? How can they salvage the situation?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would say take a deep breath. Most of the college deadlines, the early deadlines start mid-November. Most of the regular ones are end of the year, end of December, early January. Now, I will say that in senior year, these next few months fly really, really quickly. I mean, for all of those people who thought, wow, summer break just flew. I feel like we just got out of school. That was about 2.5-3 months ago. Fast forward, that's about 2.5-3 months from now. So these next few months will go quickly. So definitely say start now. And I would really think about, again, starting with what are the things that make me different? What are the 3 to 5 things that I want schools to know about me? For seniors, a lot of the parts of their application right now are already set, right? Their grades and transcripts, pretty much done. Test scores, maybe there's 1 or 2 more testing days before the deadlines, but they are kind of where they're going to be. So then think about, what are the things that are not yet coming through in my application? What might those important recommenders say about me? Maybe I didn't do so great in my math class, but I tried really, really hard, and I went for extra work every day, and I really showed persistence and grit. That's something that a recommender can say about the kind of student that isn't coming through in those numbers. And then after you think about all of that, there's probably something that is still not there. Maybe it's some experience that you had that really helped define your character or what's important to you, or maybe it's some hidden talent that you spent all of your free time doing, but, that very, very short list on the activity list doesn't really allow you to really extrapolate on. That then becomes your essay questions. So it's really the part of the application that is most within your control, that you can have the most fun with, and really is the piece that can communicate your message in your own voice. So I would tell students, don't get freaked out about it. It's really not that difficult to process if you know how to think about it logically and sequentially.
Well, and I have to say, I cannot imagine. It's funny, as a parent, you do what you have to do when you have your kids, but now that they're all grown and gone and I get to be grandma, I think, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I got through all that. So I can imagine that the parents listening, particularly those who might have juniors and seniors, are sort of feeling anxious. But part of the reason I am delighted to be able to invite folks like you to the show is we have an action item here that can be helpful. And you have developed a system that I find fascinating. I've held it in my hand and I've looked through it, and I think it's phenomenal. And I would love for you to take a few minutes and explain to people the resources that you have available should they want to hire you to do the coaching and consulting, or if they'd like to avail themselves of the system that you created.
Yeah, absolutely. So I find it really interesting. The approach that I take, quite frankly, is really it's a business approach. And I never thought it was all that interesting until a bunch of groups started inviting me to speak and to teach other independent counselors how I do my system. And quite frankly, there were so many people who were interested in working with me that either, didn't have the time or I didn't have the time. And so what I did was I put my entire system basically into a box. I call it Stuff in a Box. The real name is The Complete Candidate. It is available on Amazon. It is a multimedia system that takes students through the very discrete steps of, first, how do I develop an effective college admissions strategy. And I think that, you know, in this time when anxiety is really high, that's the piece that most students fail to do because they just want to get to the application and hit send. Big mistake. You got to take a step back. And this is, again, where parents can really help their students help develop what does that strategy look like? What are the 3 to 5 talking points? What is the picture that I want the admissions office to see? So if you think about the application not as a checklist but as a jigsaw puzzle with your student's face, on the front of the puzzle, and then it tells you, again, very directively how to then go through each element of the application in order to execute that picture or fulfill that strategy. So it is, you know, rife with tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, examples, and if you do follow the system from beginning to end, you will end up with a completed common application ready to send to your target schools.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is also important for folks who have students at most any age is that you do occasionally have openings to provide the direct consulting. So would you talk a little bit? I want people to fully understand what it is you do. So would you just take a minute and talk about what it is if I as a parent come to you and say, okay, hey, I have an eighth grader, you know, and I'm going to hire you. Help the listeners understand exactly at least a 30,000-foot overview, what it is the services that you provide to help them over the course of the next few years.
Yep. So I, again, like I said, I start working with eighth graders all the way through seniors in high school. And I work with students either in person if they're local or via Skype if they are across the country. And, you know, honestly, what I do changes by client and by year. But at a 30,000-foot level, at that, you know, eighth grade, ninth grade level, I'm really looking at how do we help really understand who the student is. So I do a lot of learning assessments, personality assessments to understand what's going to be the right learning environment for this student. We do the high school course selection, again, for the entire high school year. And, of course, that changes as the student kind of goes through high school, but at least we have a loose plan. Because my whole idea is I want to make sure that my students have options. You know, the more options, the better. And as they go through high school, we can refine what those interests and abilities are, but I want them to have the widest slate of options possible. Again, I work with my 8th and 9th graders to help them explore different interests and activities, both inside of school as well as outside of school. So we do things like summer planning, or I help them find internships, that sort of thing. And then as we get farther and farther through high school, of course, I'm working with my juniors and seniors a lot more frequently than I am my freshmen or sophomores. My seniors right now, I'm meeting with them every week to make sure that we are getting done with those college applications and they're getting submitted. And in that process, I am working with families to help them develop, you know, what is the right college list for that student? And I spent a lot of time traveling to colleges across the country. I was actually just at Trinity University in Dublin last week talking to admissions officers there to try to get kind of the background. What's the stuff they don't tell everybody else? Who would be the right student for this school? And then so once we have that list of colleges, I help them go through every part of that application. So whether it's, you know, we start with the strategy development, which again, I like to start developing over junior year, and then really thinking through strategically, how are we going to pick off every part of this application? What is the right way to do the resume for this student, for this school? And that changes based on the student. You know, who are the right recommenders and what's going to be that recommendation strategy? And then, of course, I spend a lot of time doing umpteen edit rounds of different essays to help that student's voice and insight really come through in a way that an admissions officer can understand who the student is.
Well, and you did mention that the complete candidate, which is your system for helping someone do well in the application process, find the right school, et cetera, that's one way people can reach you. What can they reach out to you directly, and how would they do that?
They can absolutely do that. They can. So my website is the Mahler Institute, T-H-E-M-A-U-L-E-R Institute. So they can go to themahlerinstitute.com and shoot me an email there. I also would offer one thing for your listeners on a back-to-school day special. For anybody who's interested in purchasing the complete candidate candidate from Amazon, if they were to purchase that and then send me an email with the purchase number and Plaid for Women attached, I will offer a free application critique and review after following the complete candidate. So I want to make sure that your listeners have that promotion available today. Today only.
Today only. Well, I'm going. No, yeah, I can't imagine the amount of time if we had that as an ongoing special for sure. So, Steph, thank you so much for making time to be with us. And I this information is just so valuable, and I appreciate your time and your willingness to share this information with the listeners. Thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure, and happy Back to School Day, everybody, and I look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Absolutely. And listeners, I want to remind you that we have folks like Steph on the show because you've said you have kids, they're in school, you want them to go to college or figure out what they're going to do after college. And certainly we are so appreciative of Steph with the Mahler Institute being willing to share her time with us. So again, you can connect with her directly by going to themahlerinstitute.com, or you can find the complete candidate on amazon.com. And as she said, if you bought it today and send her an email, you're going to get a free application critique, and that you got to mention you heard it on Plaid for Women. So that's hugely valuable. I want to remind you as well that Plaid for Women Radio is brought to you in part by Tarrant County College, Comerica Bank, Lucas Funeral Homes, and Higginbotham Insurance. You can connect with us by going to Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, and we are ready, willing, and able to connect with you and would be delighted to do so. You can also find us at plaid4women.com. Plaid is a blogging and media site that is dedicated exclusively and unapologetically to women. Our goal is to help women become more. We want you to be more engaged, more authentic, more productive, more profitable, more powerful, and we want you to begin to or continue to learn how to find and use your superpowers for good. We are powerful creatures, and the more that we are able to access the strength that we have and the innate capacities that we have and use them for the greater good, I think the world is just going to be a better place. And there are those of you who have made the decision to join our online community. And for that, I like to give a shout out and say hello. And today is certainly no different. I want to give a shout out and say hello to Lynn Sudbury, Tiffany Arterberry, LaShondra Strother, April Sunshine Hawkins, Andrea Macaluso, Travis Matheny, Carolyn Morris, and Susan Wood. We see you. We appreciate you. We recognize and value the fact that you've taken the time and the effort and energy to join our digital community. And I want to again remind you, my guest today has been Steph Mahler, who's the Certified Education Planner and founder of the Mahler Institute. You can find her online at the Mahler, M-A-U-L-E-R, institute.com. I also want to remind you that you can let us know what you think about the show today. If you have questions or comments, you can let us know if you have ideas for other topics or other guests by going to plaid4women.com. Top right-hand corner, you'll see a Contact Us button, and you can reach out to us directly that way. I also want to say that until we get together again, my dear friends, you have been zinked. Listen up!